Hello, and welcome to my art update podcast thingy. This is update number 63, Authenticity. This podcast is designed to keep people who know me, Andrew Woolner, up to date about what is going on for me artistically, and inevitably some life updates are going to get rolled into that because sometimes these things need context. So if you know me, welcome to stick around and listen to this. You don't need to feel obliged to do so. This is after all just for people who are interested. I'm not going to try to do a hard sell on you. If you don't know me, you're also perfectly welcome to listen, but things might not make sense if you don't have the context that is the entire rest of my life that I assume people who know me have a bit more in-depth knowledge of. If you're just joining now, this is your first update. You might want to check updates numbers 1, 2, and 52. Those will bring you up to date on what I've been doing with my life over the last 20-some-odd years. I'd stick with those and advise against, you know, binging the whole series because it is not designed for that. And that could be bad. That could be bad for your brain. So anyway, this update, wow, coming out really late. Sorry, I'm recording this on Monday. I had a last minute errand to run on Thursday morning for the teachers union, which is when I'd originally planned to record this. And then Friday was nerd night. So the rest of my time was on Friday, and Thursday afternoon when I finally got home was prepping for that. And I just couldn't get the prep done fast enough to fit a recording in before the weekend when I have no time to record because there's people around. And I know I'm talking to an audience, but some of this feels personal. I don't really necessarily want my family members listening to me opening my heart to perfect strangers, potentially. I mean, most of you aren't strangers, but yeah, anyway. Okay, let's just jump into the updates then. Stick around at the end if you want to hear me talk about what I think is one of my sort of core values. If that's not interesting, you can duck out after the updates, but that's what I'm going to do afterwards. Okay, so updates. YTG, still working on the summer show. We're all supposed to be finding doors. Haven't done it yet. I think Marie's the only person who's done it. We're considering the doors that are going into the central hub of the set, and we're going to build the show around that. Actually, after I record this morning, I am taking off to head down to the theater, even though it's pouring rain outside, because Marie and I need to take some measurements and figure out what, if we can use any of the existing pieces that are in the space, or if we're going to have to build the set for the summer wholesale. So yeah, that's happening today. Nerd night, I mentioned that earlier. We've had a very successful nerd night this past Friday. The topics were volcanoes and badgers. It's still really sad, though, to me that we haven't been able to get the event back to pre-pandemic levels. But thank you to any of you who either went or tuned in. It was great. We had our volunteer levels were closer to what they probably should be, and I was able to sort of focus on the stuff that I do. So that was great. Not back to where it was before, where I could mostly focus on the photography during the event, but we will get there. Speaking of photography updates. I don't really have any major updates here. I lost my vintage lens, though. So I have this little, very flat, Indistar 69, which is a 28 millimeter lens. It's actually, it's from an old Soviet camera that used to go on it fit on a half frame camera. And I love this thing. I carry it everywhere. I don't use it on every shoot, but it's so small that I just carry it just in case. I'm not sure how I lost it. I'm usually actually really, really careful with lenses. This is the first time I've lost a piece of camera equipment, but you know, it is small. It's my smallest lens. I'm actually more shocked that the gallery didn't find it. So maybe it dropped out of my pocket or something. Yeah. So I'm kind of bummed about that. I have actually already though taken money that I don't have and ordered a new one. They're about $100. They had to be shipped from Ukraine. So, I probably won't see that till May or June. But I ordered another one because it is actually a really key part of my photographer identity is this little lens that I like to slap on my smallest camera. And when it's on, I can actually fit my smallest camera in my pocket, which makes it more I've got big pockets, which makes it more portable. It means I can bring it with me sometimes when I normally wouldn't bring a camera with a big. My lenses, none of my lenses are particularly big or giant, but they're too big to fit in my pocket. Anyway, okay, so updates on sustainability projects. Bunch of roadblocks and dead ends last week. I need to talk to Aaron, who's helping me rewrite the thing. And I'm kind of lost at the moment, so trying to hopefully connect with her this week. I think I've done some decent writing on it. I just don't know how to arrange it on the site, and I really just need someone to help me with that. All right, so that's it for the updates this week. But I'm not done. I want to talk about authenticity. I feel like I'm having like a breakup talk with someone. Look, real talk here. We need to talk about authenticity. It's not you. It's not one of those. Anyway, I've been thinking a lot about this recently and realizing that authenticity is something that's very important to who and sort of to who I am and how I think about my work, my art. So I would have called this, if you'd asked me like even a year ago, I think I would have called this value honesty, but it's different because, like, you know, how is honesty compatible with the fact that as artists, in some ways we're telling lies, hopefully in order to reveal truth, but sometimes for fun. But yeah, authenticity is more about like being true to oneself and how one thinks the world is. So you can be authentic and dishonest because the authentic you cares about other people's feelings, right? So you can be kind and you can cover up maybe your actual thoughts, or your actual opinions on something temporarily, or soften them in some way because you care about other people's feelings, and that's an authentic thing, right? I feel like if honesty was a core value, then I would be less kind sometimes. I don't know. Yeah, I think someone who is truly honest might be compelled to say hurtful things, you know, to say no when actually the right thing to say to be true to oneself and one's relationships, which are part of that, the right thing then maybe is to say yes, right? You know, sometimes when people ask me to help them with projects, I want to say no in some ways. Like the honest thing would be like, do you want to help me with the honest thing would be no, I don't. I got like so much going on, but I'm compelled to say yes because part of how I view myself is, you know, someone who's helpful to other people and helps them get their project done, you know, not out of some kind of quid pro quo, but out of just, you know, valuing other people's stuff, other people's ambitions, other people's, you know, projects. Right. So So that's one side of it. I also used to think this value was maybe realism or cynicism. And I think this damaged my reputation when I was younger because I felt this need to be always critical. Right. So I was thinking about this and I wrote the sentence, there are two levels to this value, the inner and the outer. And the problem is I got interrupted after I wrote the inner section. So the outer section is much shorter. So bear with me. Let me just talk about like the inner part of the value of authenticity. So, and this is just for me, like, I don't know, maybe this word means something different for you. I'm not trying to define it. This isn't like an audio essay about what does authenticity mean, period. But like, what does it mean? What does it mean to me? What does it mean to my work? So authenticity is a deep need I have to be who I am as much as I can. So when I was younger, I did know who I was as well as I do now. I mean, who cares? Like, right? Like, that's everybody. But I didn't know who I was as well. And so it was easier for me to do things to hold down, like to hold down office jobs, right? And then just do art in the evenings. Or, and all that goes with holding down the office job, like behaving in an office and, yeah, and living the life that sort of, the outer life that goes with that, which is at odds with my inner life. Yeah, it was easier then. It's harder for me to do that kind of thing now. Because I'm much more likely now to sort of to stand up for myself in a way that maybe gets me in trouble. So, yeah. So, and this desire for authenticity is probably where the self-deprecation that I have comes from. So this is something, this came up actually, this whole thinking about authenticity came up because I wondered why the stuff I wrote for the Sustainability Project webpage was the way it was. I had several people come back to me and say, well, you got to get rid of the self-deprecating stuff because actually it's very off-putting. And so I was trying to think of where that comes from so that I could express those feelings in a way that wasn't offensive, actually, to the people who were reading it, but at the same time was authentic to me and how I feel. So it's not that I think that me or my projects are not worthwhile or like worthy of any kind of support, but it's, I want to represent them accurately. So anything that sounds like marketing speak, or that I'm puffing something up to be more than it is, that it really makes me deeply uncomfortable. And even if it's on this website, but I mean, people assume that I am the source. It's hard. Like, it's the same thing when I'm promoting shows. If it's somebody else, if it's very clear that it's somebody else writing about the show, or it could be somebody else writing about the show, I can let it go. But if someone's reading something, for instance, the YTG newsletter, which is written in my voice, I cannot fluff the show the same way I can if it's written sort of third person on the website. But yeah, it's not that I think my projects are not worthwhile. I want to represent them accurately, and I want to sort of avoid marketing speak. I really don't like to fluff up what I'm doing and leave out the questions or doubts that I have about my own work, because it feels deeply unauthentic, and it triggers this very deep cognitive dissonance in me. And the self-deprecating comments that I sometimes make about myself or my own work, they're there to relieve that cognitive dissonance, right? I want to say nice things about, I want to say good things about this project, but I also want to be able to express my own self-doubt and diffuse the doubt that I feel that you might feel, you as someone looking in at my work, that you might feel if I blow it up too much, if I fluff it up too much. I don't want anyone to have a false impression of who I am. I don't like gurus, okay? And this holds true. So while I run a theater company, where I am the old experienced person, I will undermine myself in order to prevent being seen that way. If I see a guru bubble forming, I try to pop it, right? Because again, it's this cognitive dissonance. Like, I do not feel like I have the answers to every question, and I don't want to come off like I do. And this is really relevant. If you're wondering why I'm talking about this, it's because, you know, every summer I have a whole bunch of interns come in who are between the ages of, like, yes, I mean, sometimes as young as 16, but usually more like 19 to sort of mid to late 20s. And now in the old days, I was around their age. Now I'm like twice their age or more. And I feel like I have a responsibility not to become a guru to them, to help them to, like, I don't like the word mentor really, but to mentor them in some way, to help them achieve their artistic goals in regards to whatever project we're working on, but without becoming the guru, without becoming a guru. I mean, see, like, if you're listening to this, you probably know me. So you know I'm flawed. You know I have blind spots and weaknesses as a human and as an artist. But other people don't, right? And especially younger people who might come and intern on my projects. And I hate having to pretend that I'm not flawed or that I'm an artistic genius or something. or even if I'm not actively pretending, but if I let people see me that way, it feels, again, it's this cognitive dissonance. It just feels unauthentic. So sometimes I pop the bubble by being self-deprecating. So the self-deprecation, it leaks into other things I work on, and the people who help me write my cover letters and the webpage for the sustainability project, like I said, they're always on my ass about cutting that shit out. And they're right. I guess there are ways to dance around the fluff, around talking about my projects, not the fluff, but around talking about my projects without triggering my cognitive dissonance, or like the cognitive dissonance I get if I feel like I'm blowing my own horn. Yeah. Okay, so that's the inner part. So the outer, and I warn you, this is much shorter because this I mostly had to write just before recording this, and I didn't have the same amount of time to think about this. But so that's the inner cognitive dissonances, but not cognitive dissonance. That's the way I think about on the inside I'm feeling about authenticity. On the outside, on the outer version of authenticity, this is reflected on by like what I want from things coming to me. So I want my experiences in the world to be authentic. And this might be why I feel deeply uncomfortable at theme parks sometimes. And I don't like creating those experiences myself, but I'm fine. I can go to Disney Sea or whatever, and I can have a good day, but I'm not that kind of person who would want to go there every week, right? I want to go on a few rides. I want to eat some interesting food or something like that, or just hang out. But yeah, it's hard. It's hard to be authentic in a place that is deeply inauthentic. Now there's elements of it that are authentic. I'm not going to do a deep dive into like theme parks here, but there's things that are really authentic. Like, you know, seeing someone scream on a roller coaster, that's authentic. It's just some of the sort of, some of the other make-believe that I feel weird about. Yeah. I crave context. This is another aspect of this authenticity, sort of outer, in like the outer world coming into me. I crave context in events and experiences, right? I want to see more than just the surface. And I really value transparency in other people. So, I really value people being transparent with me. And I hope I respect that transparency. I hope I treat that. I hope I respect that transparency in people. When they are good enough to open up to me, I hope I respect that. And I don't disrespect the things that they're telling me, especially if it makes them vulnerable. Anyway, so there's probably more to that. But like I said, this outer part is way less developed, whatever. Why am I telling you this? Well, like I said before, since I'm working on the sustainability project, which is essentially a request to people to support what I do, I feel like I really need to think about who I am and what my work means so that I can describe it. Yeah. I hope that was interesting or insightful in some way. I would have liked to have taken a bit more time on it, but I really needed to get this update out the door. And I feel like I haven't talked about anything substantial in a while. I've just been throwing these updates out. So I really wanted to do this week, last week now. Let me know if this kind of thing is interesting to hear me mull over, or if I should keep this kind of thing between me and a journal or something. That's it for this time. You'll have an update in a few days. That's it. Andrew out.